All right, so I want to talk about today the principle of promise. There are different principles to live by. And I believe that maybe you're not living up to your best or living up to your potential because possibly you're not practicing the principle of promise. Or maybe you don't understand the principle of promise. So maybe that's the reason why you're not seeing your best life in the kingdom. Are you with me? So 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, there's one verse there, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. Let's see what it says. If you have it, say amen. For as many as may be the promises of God, in him they are yes. Come on, somebody. Whoever also, wherefore also by him is our amen to the glory of God through us. For as many as may be the promise of God, promises of God, in what? In him. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's yes. It's always yes. Whatever God has promised to you, turn to your neighbor and say, whatever God has promised me, it is yes. You can take that to the bank. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do here today. I just want to pray for everyone here today. Just want to pray for everyone. Maybe they're struggling with something today. Maybe they came in down. Maybe they came in, Lord, distracted. But tonight, today, I ask now in the name of Jesus that the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit would fall upon us right now. Father, the stage is already set. The place is prepared for worship. And now I pray that you'd bless the preaching of your word. Stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice. And Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would bless the hearts of your people now. Touch now the preaching of your word. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God will last forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God. You may be seated in the presence of God. Thank you, ushers. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Today, as we look at the principles now that belong in the kingdom, or principles to live by, I thought I would start with the principle of promise. The principle of promise is something that you and I may know about, but maybe we have not truly exercised it in our lives. I want to say something to you this morning. There are different types of principles, amen, that we live by. For instance, there is what I call the humanistic secular principles or worldview that we live by. A humanistic secular worldview suggests that a person is completely freed from religious or Christianity or religious beliefs. A secular person lives by secular principles. For instance, here are just three. There are many, but I'll just give you three. One of the principles that secular people live by is they say that human beings are not subject to God or any divine agency. They also believe that they have no obligation to love, to fear, or to obey any such supernatural being as God. Second thing they believe is that all beliefs may be founded upon reason and science. Those are principles that if you are a secular person, that you live by. Can you imagine living with that mindset? Some of us, we were like that before we were saved. We didn't have nothing to do with God. We didn't want anything to do. Matter of fact, we didn't even believe in God. Amen. And we were living by a principle or a standard that was set, amen, by the world. Do I have anybody? In secular humanism, it says that children should not be subjected to religious beliefs, or they should not be forced to believe in anything, and especially God. It's amazing that these principles reside today in our own lives, that even though we may be Christian, we may be living by the wrong principles. Do I have anybody? You see, my aim today is to introduce you to the first and most important principle there is, and that is the principle of promise. Listen, without this principle, we would not have a clue what's to come, but we wouldn't know what had happened in the past. For instance, all through the Bible, you see men and women going through different circumstances, but because they held on to a promise, come on, somebody, they saw their way through their trial. I'm going somewhere with this. Take Abraham, for instance. Abraham, God called Abraham and said, Abram, tell you what, take your wife and your children and leave and go out to a distant land. And guess what? You will bear a child. Amen. And I promise you, I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to give you all this stuff. You're going to be blessed. Abram, on the journey, he believed, the Bible says, immediately he got up and went. Now, the principle there is that he believed what God had promised. Do I have anybody? May I say something to you? If you read your Bible, you'll find out that the Bible is full of promises. That's what the Bible is. It's a big promise book. And the promiser is God. I wish I had somebody with me this morning. Listen, the promiser is God, and God is the one making the promise. Abram left. But along the journey, let me just show you what happened. Along the journey, secular humanistic beliefs set in. Sarah said, look, God's taking too long. Amen. I know what God promised. Anybody been there? You know what's best for you. You know what the word says. You know that you should, come on somebody, wait on God. You know that you should live by that principle, but it seems like sometimes God is taking too long to do what he said he would do. Do I have anybody? And so Sarah and Abram came up, well, Sarah came up with this master plan. She said, let's help God out. Amen. And they had what I call a child of the flesh. Listen, they were waiting for the child of the promise, but they ended up bringing forth a child of the flesh, a humanistic, secular child, come on somebody, not of the promise, but got included later on in the promise. As a matter of fact, that's why you have Israel and the other people on the other side of that wall fighting right now, because there's a fight between Ishmael and Isaac even today. So it goes to show you that if God promised you something, don't you go trying to make it happen. Can I tell you what you ought to do? Wait on God. Because what you're going to do is you're going to bring forth a thorn in your flesh that's going to stay there for a very long time. Do I have anybody? See, God, when he promises stuff, he's faithful. And one of the things that a lot of people don't understand is they don't truly understand what the promises are. But if you look at the word and you look at everyone, the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says she had spent all she had. She had went from doctor to doctor. The Bible says she spent all she had on physicians. I want to say something to you. Amen. You can save your money if you just trust God. Just imagine if she would have trusted God. But here's the thing. She didn't know where Jesus was. But one day, the Bible says, when she had lost everything, sometimes God has to get us to a place Well, we've lost everything, come on somebody, so that we can draw on him and on his promises. The Bible says she pressed in on him. And she says, man, if I could just touch. Do I have anybody? Do I have anybody today that can believe that all you have to do is get a touch of Jesus? She said, everything is going to be all right. My question is, how did she know that? Amen. She hadn't touched him before, but she saw something. She saw someone who had been touched by him. I'm going somewhere. When I look at your life this morning, I've seen that God has touched your life because you're not what you used to be anymore. And listen, sometimes, amen, we forget that it was God that touched us, that transformed us, and we stop believing in the promises. Paul here is writing to a church that had been corrupt. This church, this Corinthian church was such a corrupt church that they constantly was falling for humanistic, secular thinking. And saints, I want to tell you something. We can allow secular principles to come into our churches and starts governing our church from the top to the bottom. Do I have anybody? Listen, they had all kinds of stuff going on in this church. They had a young man, he was sleeping with his stepmama. Amen, in church. And everybody was like, I ain't going to tell nothing to him. Shoot, I ain't going to mess with him. Amen, I'm going to leave him alone. You know why they didn't want to address it? Because everybody else was doing something else. I wish I had somebody. See, you can't correct somebody if you ain't living right. Uh-oh, I'm talking to you now. You can't correct somebody if you're living the same way they're living, because guess what? If you try to say something to me, I'm like, why don't you change your actions? Are you with me? We had, this is what else they were doing. They were going around for communion, right? Now, back in those days, communion was given with real wine. Amen. Even the kids got, young kids started drinking wine early. And they had bread, you know, but the bread that they had, they would break off the bread, you know what I mean? And that's how they would have the Lord's Supper, right? Now watch this. They had folk that wouldn't eat, but because they wanted some good wine, this in the church, y'all. Church life is a trip, man. Listen, rather than honoring the symbolicness of it, right, the symbolism of it, right, they kept going around for communion. They kept, yeah, pass me, hey, go up there and get me one. You know, and they would get drunk in church, right? So Paul, that's why he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, listen, y'all, if you eat this thing in the wrong way, you're going to eat and drink damnation upon yourself. So y'all need to stop tripping. Now, not only did Paul have a difficult time with the members in the church, but Paul also had critics. And these critics were all over the place. They were questioning Paul's integrity in chapter 1. In chapter 1, we find, if you look at it, amen, they were questioning, his enemies were questioning his integrity. Because Paul says, I wanted to come to you, but I had a change of plans. Now, these are some harsh people right here. See, one of the things you got to remember as a believer, when you open your mouth and say something, people take you at your word. Or they should, but especially the man of God. And so Paul's plans had changed, but what had happened was they started to, watch this, they started to persecute. They started to call him a liar. They started to say, Paul, you say one thing, but you don't mean it. In other words, they were questioning his integrity. Now watch this. See, if you don't have a promise to hold on to, when you're being persecuted, come on somebody, here's what's going to happen. You're going to fall apart. You're going to lose your composure. Your attitude is going to change. You're going to walk away from the Lord. Because watch this, when persecution comes, and especially to your character, amen, it has a way of moving you. Paul gives us an example. Paul says, if you look at it, I'll show you something. Look at verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He says, who comforts us? Watch this now. Now, what they did not know is the reason that Paul could not come to them is because of the persecution that he had been going through previously. Are you with me? Paul had been going through some stuff. And watch this. The text says, watch what he says, who comforts us in what? In all. That's a promise. I want to say something to somebody here today. That's one of the principles of promise right there. That God, that's a promise right there. Hold on, underline it, highlight it, copy and paste it, put it in your notes. That God, it's a promise from God, that he will comfort you. Psalm 46 and 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. But Paul was trying to say to them, listen, y'all, I understand y'all want me to be there, but I got a bigger problem. I'm going through. Watch the text. Watch what the text says. It says, it comforts those in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And I want to say to somebody here this morning, God promises that when you're going through, you got to hold on, come on somebody, to this promise and say, God, thank you. Thank you, because your word says, that's how you claim the promise, God, your word says that you will comfort me when I'm going through. Anybody going through something today? Anybody going through a little storm right now? So my first point I want to give you, just because I want to give it to you, you got to believe in the promises. We must believe in the promise. Because look what he says. He says, watch what he says. He says right here. He says, verse 5, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also, watch that, our comfort is abundant through Christ. May I say this to you? You can't claim the promise if you don't go through Jesus. If you're not in Jesus, come on somebody, you can't get the promise because the promise doesn't belong to you. Are you with me? Look at verse 6. He says, but if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Now look at verse 7. He says, and our hope for you is firmly grounding, knowing that as you were sharers of our sufferings, so also will you be what? Sharers of our comfort. You know what Paul was saying? Paul was saying, when I go through, amen, I know you're going through. But because I'm going through and because I'm enduring while I'm going through, guess what? We all can be comforted in the midst of what we're going through. In other words, while I go through and I hold on to the promise, it affects you. Yeah. Do I have anybody? Verse 8 says, for we do not want you to be unaware, brethren. Watch this. For, brethren, our affliction which came to us in Asia. Notice where he said he was. Now, the word Asia here does not mean Middle East. Asia as we know Asia. It's a Roman colony. This was a Roman empire that was called Asia. But watch what it says. He says, brethren, our affliction came to us in Asia that we were burdened excessively beyond what? Our strength, so that we are what? Despaired even of life. Indeed, we had this. I just want to show you this. The sentence of what? Death. In other words, Paul was facing a death penalty. He was about to die, and they were questioning why he could not come to see them at the Corinthian church. Isn't that selfish? They are facing adversity. Come on, somebody. It goes to show you that sometimes people really don't care what you're going through. Listen, some people are so selfish, they don't even care what you're going through. All they want to get is what they need from you. Do I have anybody? And you got to be careful of people like that, because guess what? They were not merciful nor sympathetic as to what Paul was going through. But Paul says, indeed we had, what? The sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust. Come on, somebody. Trust what? In ourselves. But what did he say? What did he say? He says, but in God who raises the dead. I'm trying to tell you something. If you hold on to a promise, if you grab this promise right here, that even on your bad day, even on your worst day, even when you've been sentenced to death, even when people have assassinated your character, even when folk has turned their backs on you, even when it looks dead, it looks bad, you can trust and believe that you got to trust in God and nobody else. Do I have anybody here this morning? You got to hold on to the promise that God will comfort you. But not only will he comfort you, but when you trust in him, when you're going through, he gonna bring you through. Do I have anybody? Text says, verse 10, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, watch this, he whom we have set our what? Hope, and he will yet deliver us. You know what Paul's saying? First thing I told you, first thing you got to do, you got to believe in the promise. We must believe the promise. And listen, the reason that, listen, when adversity strikes your life, listen, when trials come, listen, he had a debt sentence. And he says, God going to deliver me. Now, why did Paul have such great conviction? Daniel was going to the lion's den, a 600 feet walk to the den. And as Daniel was walking down that corridor to the lion's den, to the dungeon, he didn't say a mumbling word. You know why he didn't say a mumbling word? Because he believed in God's promises. Do I have anybody here this morning that you can say, Pastor, I believe that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I believe that the Lord is, I'm trying to show you how to hold on to a promise. I believe that the Lord is my shepherd, that I shall not want, that even though I walk through, I'm telling you right now, I'm going through this thing. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? For the Lord is with me. Paul knew something that we, you and I should know, that if we get familiar with the word and know the promises, 7,685 promises that God has made to you, and what you got to do, baby, you got to hold on to it, but you got to believe it first. Paul had not yet been delivered when he wrote this, and he was telling them, listen, God going to deliver us. Listen, when you can't pay the bill, God gonna pay the bill, baby. Don't you worry about that. When it seems like you're being persecuted, it's all right. We're gonna get through this together. When you're going through those seasons of doubt, amen, you gotta say, you know what? God's gonna pull me through this. I need a promise that he's never leave me. Oh, I wish I had. That's a promise. He'll never leave me, nor will he forsake me. If he did it before, he could do it again. Same God back then, saying God right now. Are y'all with me? The text says, Paul says, thank you for praying for me. Verse 11. We're going to jump on down. Yeah. To verse 20. And look what he says first. I already gave you the first point. We must believe in the promise. He says, for as many are... as many as are the what? Promises of God. So not only must we believe in the promises, but the second thing we got to do is we have to believe that God is faithful to his promise. Write that down. God is faithful to his promise. You see, God has never been unfaithful to his promise. Whatever God said he would do for Paul, He did it. Now the reason I want to give you that second point, because if you look back up to verse 18, you see that there's a play on words here. Look what it says here in verse 18. It says, but God is what? God is what? Faithful to what? God is faithful, and our word to you is not what? Yes and no at the same time. In other words, Paul was saying, I told you I was coming. But y'all, I mean, considering what I just been, I mean, come on, y'all. I mean, I just had the sentence of death. And you're telling me, give me a break, y'all. But what Paul says, his thing, God says, I know something about God. Right there in the text, he says, but as God is what? Faithful. And somebody here this morning, I want to tell you something. You got to believe that God is faithful to his promise. Because sometimes it seems like he's taking a long time to deliver you. But you got to hold on to his unchanging hands. Because may I tell you something? Whatever God promises, he's going to bring it to pass. The principle of promise means that you have to believe in the promiser, that he's faithful to bring it to pass. Anybody here believe he's faithful? Anybody here seen God make a way out of no way? Anybody here been down and out? Listen, you almost gave up. How many almost gave up? How many ready to give up? But God, who is faithful, you got to hold on to that promise, baby. And say, God, I'm going to trust you. Listen, a death sentence. And Daniel's walking down that corridor to death. He didn't say nothing to nobody. He just kept on walking. Why could he be so composed in the midst of going to be thrown into a lion's den? Watch this. For doing the right thing. Some of you are being persecuted for doing the right thing, but you trip. Uh-oh. Don't trip. Walk down that aisle. Be quiet and walk into that den and watch what God will do. Amen. Amen. You've got to believe that he's faithful to that promise. But look what the next part of that verse says in verse 20. He says, for all of the promises, right, for as many as the promises of God, watch what it says. He says, in him. So not only must we believe that God is faithful to his promises, but the third thing we got to do, you ready for this? We have to believe that God will fulfill the promise. But you got to stay in him. Now watch this. This is what you call a conditional promise. There are different types of promises. And some promises just come, you receive it, right? But this is conditional. He says, all of the promises, what? In him, they are what? They are what? So can I ask you something? How come you're not getting no yeses in your situation? How come you've been praying, or maybe you've been praying, but you haven't been praying upon a promise? Wow. Maybe you've been praying, but you have not been asking based on what? A promise. Because watch what you got to do. When you're praying, you got to say, God, because you said in your word, this is how you got to say it. You may want to write it down. Lord, because you said in your word, amen, that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm about to take this exam. I need to pass this test, Lord. But your word says that, this is what your word says. Your word says that the Holy Spirit will bring back to my remembrance everything I've studied. So, Lord, I'm taking this exam. I need your help right now based, watch this, upon your promise. Lord, you said in your word, he who finds a wife, oh, Lord, finds a good thing. Now, my good thing ain't acting like a good thing right now, God. So I'm just asking you. Y'all ain't trying to hear me. I'm just saying, Lord, I understand what your word says, but my good thing is acting like a bad thing right now. So would you please help me right now based upon your word? Now, the reason I can pray upon the promise and receive the promise in my life is because I believe that God, watch this, is faithful to fulfill his promise. Anybody doubt his promise? You got to know his promise before you can doubt it. So you know what that means? You got to open the word. And you got to say, okay, God, you said in your word that in him, you know what? I'm going to get a yes. Matter of fact, you have a guaranteed yes when you stand on the promise. Oh, man. He says all of the promises, what? In him or what? No? Maybe? But what? Yes. Come on, so I say yes. Come on, yes. Yes. Yes to your will. Yes, God. I'm going to get my breakthrough because I'm standing on your promise today, and it's going to be what? Yes. Come on, give God the praise for that. Y'all sit there. Come on, y'all. You got to believe that it's going to be yes. Now, notice, I'm not saying that God is a yes man. I'm saying his promises are yes. And this is the mystery that we have to do. This requires us to do something. What? Get in the word. And if we get in the word, then we'll see it like, oh, man, God said this for my children. He said your children will be like olive trees. Amen. He says your home will flourish. Your rooms will be their rooms will be filled with wisdom. That's a promise. You got to stand on that. God, the world's not going to take my child. Train up a child in the way he must go. That's a promise. And when he's old, he shall not depart from it. God, I'm standing on this promise because I don't know. We don't know what our kids are going to become. But what we have to do, saints, is look to the scriptures, find the promise, and stand on it and believe it and say, God, you said yes. I'm taking my yes. High five your neighbor and say, I'm taking my yes. I'm taking my yes today. I need my yes. I need a yes in my finances right now. Anybody need a yes in your finances? Amen. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all. Come on, somebody. These things shall be added unto you. That's a yes. Because you've done it with the word. So let's stop using our words and let's start using God's word. And let's say, God, you said you will add all. Matter of fact, in verse 31, 32 of Matthew 6, you said, my heavenly Father knows. Hello, somebody. God, if you know about my money's funny, you know my change is strange. I ain't got to even tell you, but you said if I seek first, this is how you got to tell it to him, John. You got to say, God, with all due respect, your word said, now I've been in church, amen, I've been serving. Matter of fact, I showed up when Pastor told me didn't show up. I've been here. Your word said if I seek your kingdom first. See, here's the thing. This is how you get to try God. This is how you get to see if he's real. Somebody here, you need a real encounter with God. Some of you are playing this thing. You understand what I'm saying? You're trying it and you're not trying it. You can't do that. You got to try it for real. But the only way it's going to work, because the Bible says not one jot or tittle will be destroyed from this word until it has been completed. When Jesus was born, the Bible says in Matthew 1, I just preached that this morning, that all these things happen so that the scriptures would be fulfilled by the prophets what they had predicted. So if the prophets been saying a child is coming, a child is coming. A child is coming. They're like, yeah, all right, okay. Come here, Noah. How long did Noah preach? It's going to rain. 100 years of saying, y'all, it's going to rain, y'all. They're like, This fool here, what's up with him? Did you drive by Noah's house? He got a big ship in his yard. I'm just saying, him and his kids, they done lost their mind. You know what Noah believed? No, the promise. Noah, I got a special assignment for you. Noah, I'm going to give you the specs. I'm going to give you the material. Come on, somebody. Here's how you know when you're in the promise. When everything is falling in place with it. When you don't have to worry about where the money's going to come from. You don't have to worry about how you're going to do it. All you have to do is be available to God. And he's going to do it and supply all you need to do it. This big old ship in his yard, right? And he's like, everybody drop. Man, Noah tripping. Man, I don't know. They need to send that dude somewhere. He's tripping. And then he talking about he preached three words sermon. It's going to rain. That's all Noah's stuck on. It's going to rain. The Bible says on the day that the flood, he said even on the day the flood came, he didn't even know. God said, hey, Noah, all right, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to get two people, two by twos. You and your family. But I still want you to tell them it's going to rain now. Now check this out. Animals and his family was the only one that was spared that day. Everybody else died. They were wiped off the face of the earth. What was the difference between them and the people who got wiped out? They didn't believe in the promise. See, just like you got to believe that Jesus is coming back. He's in heaven right now, and he's coming back. Now, let me ask you this question. Where are you going to find you? Are you going to be in places you're not supposed to be when he come back? Are you going to be doing things? Are you going to be living a certain way? Listen, you got to be ready. Watch this. It was a promise that God made to Noah that caused Noah to say, man, I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to take him at his word. I believe he's going to fulfill it. And that's what you got to believe. If it says, if the word says, test me now in this. You know where I'm going with that. What do you say? What's the only place God say to test him with? All right. See y'all. Y'all tune down on me. He said, test me now in this if I will not open up the windows of heaven. But here's the thing, that's called a conditional promise. Because if you don't do the first, some people saying, I'm waiting. And they ain't putting nothing in. You say you waiting, but you ain't tithing. What you waiting for? Ain't no window open. Matter of fact, they put some burglar bars on that thing because you can't get in. Is your window burglar-proofed? Is that burglar bars behind your window that God can open the window and pour you out a blessing because you're not believing that he's going to fulfill the promise? Are you with me? My last point, I'm going to sit down. I got one more. Look what he said. Verse 20, right there, verse 20. Therefore, also what? Through him is our what? You know what that means? See, in him, you get to experience the promise, right? You get to see the fulfillment of the promise. But watch this. Through him is where you agree to the promise. You know what the word amen means? Indeed, it's going to happen. So my next point is we have to believe that God keeps his promise. That God what? Keeps his promise. Listen, I may promise you something and never deliver. But the reason why he said if you're operating through him, you're always going to have an amen. When I say amen, you know what that means? You agree. Amen. To your will, God. Amen when I'm going through. amen, because I got a word. I got a sure thing now that next time I go through, I'm going to open this Bible. I'm going to find me a promise. And guess what I'm going to say in the end? Amen. Amen, because it's going to happen. Amen, even when the odds are stacked against me. Amen, 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 amen. Turn to your name and say amen, 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 amen. Because all of God's promises is what? Yes, and amen through Jesus Christ. But lastly, he says, to the glory of God through us. The last thing we must do is we must give God glory. Well, this is my last point. We must give God glory by living according to the promise. See, when the promise is manifested in your life, give him glory. Don't take the glory for yourself. Don't say, oh, it was me. It was my strength. It was my, I'm the one that orchestrated this. I'm the one that got me here. No. Stand on that promise. And when you see that promise fulfilled in your life, you say, God, I glorify you, God. I magnify you, Lord. I give you all the praise and honor because, God, you've been so good to me. But listen, all I'm saying, saints, is taste and see how good the Lord is. The Bible says the word is like a honeycomb. It's sweet. Come on, somebody. You got to grab the word and you got to say, God, I believe in your promise. Do I have anybody here today? The Bible says that God has stored up his goodness for those who fear him. God has plenty of goodness in storage. Come on, somebody. Many people today have so much stuff that they can't hold all of it in their home. So in the effort to control overflow, they go rent, hello, somebody, a storage unit. I'm going somewhere with this. God's got goodness in storage waiting for you. Come on, somebody. God has goodness in storage waiting for you. What you got to do? You got to stand on his promise. You listen, he got stuff for you that you don't even think about, but guess what? He thought about it already. He's got stuff piled up in storage for you right now, but you got to believe in his promise. He got stuff waiting for you, baby, but you got to hold on to his unchanging hand. He's got stuff holed up for you. You got to believe in his promise. You got to believe that he's going to keep his promise. You got to believe, hallelujah, that he's going to fulfill his promise. But I forgot one point. You got to believe that he's faithful to his promise. You got to believe that he's faithful to bring to pass what he said he would for you. Do I have anybody here today? God wants to give you the keys and the access code to that storage unit. Do I have anybody? You got to hold on to his hands, but you got to stand on his promise. And when you stand on God's promises, it's going to come to pass. Give him a hand clap of praise, y'all. What a word. What a word. What a word. Give him a praise, y'all. Give him a praise. Come on. He deserves a praise, y'all. He deserves the glory. Thank you for your promise, God. Thank you for your word, God. Your promises are yes, yes in my life, yes in my situation, yes because I'm going to make it through this. Hallelujah to his holy name. Hallelujah to his holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm tired of getting denied. I'm tired of being declined. I'm tired of applying for stuff and stuff ain't going through. Aren't you tired of that? So you got to stand on his promise. You got to get access. And when you're standing on his promise, Paul said, I'm going through and y'all questioning my word. You know what hurts a person? When they're going through and then people who are supposed to be people of promise, they have no sympathy towards them. That's what Paul was going through. They were questioning. Man, you said you're going to be here, but now you're talking about you ain't going to be here. Now, and then Paul answered, Paul said, hold on. Was my yes, yes, or was my, when I preached to you, he said, was my yes a no at the same time, or was it yes and yes, or no and no? He said, which one is it? He said, but I'll tell you what it is. He says, what I did was I preached to you the promises of God. And the promises of God are always yes. He says, I didn't come to you with superiority of speech. I didn't come to you trying to tell you here's 7 steps to go into the next level or 13 steps to be happy. They fill out the George R. Brown with Les Brown, right? With his positive speaking stuff. They can't hold on to that. That stuff dies out after a month, after a week. But if you give them a word, they can fill the George R. Brown Convention Center to go hear worldly wisdom. But we can't fill a church on Sunday morning where we have God's promises. Everything about him, everything about this word is true. Listen, you having a bad day? Open it up. Listen, somebody done messed with you? Somebody, young people? You're going through? You don't understand what's happening in school? You don't understand? Go to the word. Find a promise. You know Psalm 23. And say, God, because you are my shepherd. I remember we already dealt with bad attitudes, so we shouldn't have no attitude now. But we should have a promise. And so maybe you're here today. And maybe you want to start living by this principle. Stop trying to figure it out. See, you can't figure God out. But you can stand on his word. Maybe you don't believe. Maybe you don't truly believe his word. I know you heard. Because here's the thing. If you were living the word, the Bible says you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. So if I'm talking to you and you're supposed to be an apple tree and I'm getting lemons out of you, something wrong with you. That's real. If you're telling me I'm this and then your lifestyle and your fruits does not match up with that, then you need a word. You need a promise to stand on so that God can change your character or your life. So if you're here today and you're ready to say, Pastor, I want to stand on God's promises. I'm ready to start living by these principles, the principle of